One of the main mottos of the Marine Corps, and for those who don't know, in the United States Marine Corps, they function in with this mindset of we function as one. When I was in boot camp, it said that you are only as strong as the weakest link. So whenever you find somebody who's in that unit, whenever you find somebody who's in that platoon, whenever you find somebody who's on your squad, you are only as strong as the weakest person in that unit. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't contribute anything to the unit. It simply means that they may not be one of your top Marines. They may not want to be one of your top performers, but they do bring something to the team that without it, you would not be as efficient. And that is one of the biggest things that if you study the word of God, that God says there's no insignificant parts in the body of Christ. No, not one. In fact, we're going to talk about that today. And one of the biggest things we're going to talk about today is friendly fire. Friendly fire. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. He says, every kingdom that's divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or every house divided against itself will not stand. It didn't say it could not stand. It didn't say it might not stand. It says it will not stand. And so for so many years, one of the biggest tricks that the adversary has used against the body of Christ, against families, against marriages, against organizations, is division. And what happens is most of the time when the people are in division, they think they are right. And that's what is called being deceived. And deceived simply means that you believe what you're saying is true, even though every point tells you it is a lie. You see, division simply comes down to this. Two people looking at the same thing, with seeing it from two totally different views. And as a result of it, one pulls one way, another pulls another way. But see, when you're talking about an organization, you're talking about a team, particularly you're talking about the body of Christ, a house, or a body, or a group, or an organization, or a team that's divided against itself cannot and will not stand. We found in friendly fire. Friendly fire simply means is involved in attacks on one's own side. Differentiating it from attacks on civilians, which is collateral damage, or deliberate attacks on one's own troops for disciplinary reasons, friendly fire incidents often stem from one of the main reasons that friendly fire comes about is miscommunication, communication breakdowns. You think this person got all this information only to find out they don't have it all. And because they don't have it all, they go by what they believe is right, even though what was intended is not what's happening at all. I'm telling you this day that the Lord said today is the day of breakthroughs, breakouts. People are going to get set free, healed, delivered, and made whole, because he's going to point out to you today the very root of all divisions, schisms, and strifes that are happening in the body of Christ and in your life right now. Are you interested? See, one of the things you got to understand is the adversary is crafty. In fact, it says in Genesis 3 that the serpent, when he allowed his body to be used by the adversary, he was crafty. He was one of the most crafty, trickery. I call him Slick Willie. He is crafty. And see, even though he can't create anything new, he can take something that already exists and pervert it, or take what it is that was once meant to be good and use it for something that is worse. And what we're going to begin to talk about today is the source of friendly fire, the source of bickering, the source, the very source. And when I point this out to you, you're going to be like, duh, I should have been able to see that. But when you see what it is, you will find out why you are not able to see it. And this is what it says. Jesus here is talking, well, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and he's highlighting to them because there's some divisions, there's some schisms, and there's some strifes. Remember, I told you, the Marine Corps' mentality is you're only as strong as the weakest link. And this is the way that God sees it. Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. He says, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. So even though there are many different members in the body of Christ, there is only one body. He says, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again, the head to the feet. I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker. Didn't say that they were, says they may seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God, who? God is the one who composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body. So God has what the world will say, they have stronger parts, ones that receive more honor. But God says, I give honor to those that you would think are the weaker part. I give honor to those that you would think are the more unpresentable. I'm going to give more honor to those, because you may think there's no need of them, but God says, I have composed the body. He says, I composed the body that the members of that there shall be no what? No schisms or divisions or strifes in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So regardless of whether you think you the big cheese, are you the small fry, whether you the CEO, or whether you're the janitor, God says it does not matter in his eyes, because you're all members of the same body. And see, even as leaders, sometimes people try to put you up on a platform. And I tell people in a heartbeat, don't put me on a platform I can't get down from. Because I'm going to tell you, I might be on 99% of the time, but that 1% of the time I'm not on. Ooh, my Lord, you might catch me on the wrong day. Hello. And it might be something altogether different. It shouldn't be that way. But I'm just telling you, keeping it 100% real, don't put leaders on a platform they can't get down from. The only one who should hold a platform in your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one who should hold high esteem in your life is our Heavenly Father. The only one who should have significant voice in your life, more so than any other voice, is the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm saying to you that mankind will let you down. Mankind will disappoint you. Mankind, whether they willingly or unwillingly do it, sometimes men will disappoint you. But God says, I have put to every member in the body as I see fit. I compose the body. I've given honor to this one and I'm less honor to that one. Why? Because I declare that the body should have no divisions or schisms or strifes within itself, but that we should have the same care one for another. So whether they're the pastor or whether they're the number one toilet paper changer, we should show them the same amount of honor and respect. In fact, I tell staff all the time, I said, if you treat everybody the same, then you don't have to try to give more esteem to one than you do the other, because they're all valuable. They're all important, regardless of how much they spend or don't spend. They are still important in the body of Christ, and they're still important in the things of God. He goes on to say, and if one member suffers, now think about this. If remember, I told you, you're only as strong as the weakest link. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. In other words, if it happens to one of us, it happens to all of us. If you down, and my responsibility is to lift you up. If you're being honored, my responsibility is to rejoice with you. It's not a competition. The worst form of pride is comparison. That's pride. Comparing yourself to other people. You don't know their situation. You don't know their circumstances. I tell people all the time, they said, man, so-and-so got this new car. They must really be blessed. You know what I told them? That don't mean they blessed. That just mean they got good credit. It don't necessarily mean that they blessed, but what you don't know is they panicking and sweating every 2 weeks trying to see how they're going to pay for that blessing while they perpetrating like they got it going on. And I'm not saying that you can't have it going on. I'm just saying, don't let yourself get caught up in comparisons. And Jesus was the one who was talking about that. One of the things you're going to see in the latter days and the latter times, which we are living in, is this thing that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. And this is a big time to talk about the friendly fire. And he prophesied that you was going to see friendly fire, even though that's not what he called it. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 4. And the disciples asked Jesus three questions. When are all these things going to happen? When are the temples going to be all these buildings and everything gonna become crashing down. When is your return? When are you coming back to the earth? And when is the end of this age, the age, the church age, the age of grace? When is these things going to happen? What are the indicators? And Jesus said this. He says, Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you. So the number one indicator that's going to be going on in the last days, which we're living in the last of the last days, is deception. In fact, he says, deception will run rampant. He says, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And he says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. He says, see that none of these things trouble you. He says, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then Jesus says this. He says, then, because of the tribulations, because the people have been delivered up, because they have some tribulation, simply means troubles. Tribulation means tests, trials, and issues that are going to come up against you. He said, because these things are going to happen, these are the three killers that you're going to be seeing more and more of in the last days. He says, then many will become offended. So the first thing he says, when people get into tribulation and testing and trials, many will be offended and will betray. What he said, because they're offended, they will betray one another and they will hate one another. So what happens? The person got offended first. And then what was the next thing they was open to do? They was open to betray that person. And the next thing that was, what happened is, because they was open to betray them, because they're offended, now they're willing to hate that person that they once loved. You see this all the time in marriages. Man, my wife and I, Pastor Jewett, we do marriage counseling. We do counseling premarital, in the marriage, and God forbid we have to do it after the marriage. But what happens is the same people who had googie eyes towards one another, and I mean, she just loved what he, just the way he looked at her, and he just loved the way that the sun went through, all these things that they loved about each other. And what we always say to people is, love is blind, but marriage is an eye opener. While you're dating somebody, you're on the honeymoon phase. I mean, you don't really know what that person's like. You won't really, even if you dated that person for 2 years and then y'all got married, there are still a lot of things you don't know about that person because y'all never lived together. And even if, and once you start living together, you gonna find out that, you know, sometimes she wakes up in the morning, she don't wake up looking like, you know, like that glamorous picture that you saw when you picked her for the day. Sometimes she wake up in the morning and she sounds like this. When she get ready to wake up in the morning, like, got the money, who the heck? And you almost thought somebody broke in the house. And, you know, and he wakes up in the morning, you find out he got three alarm breaths and everything. But what you find out about that person is what you saw, that Hallmark movie, that postcard that you thought marriage was. Marriage is, it comes down to one word, W-O-R-K, work. As long as you work your marriage, that marriage will work. The day you start working at marriage, that marriage won't work. And what happens is, sometimes things happen, and sometimes tribulation, tests, and trials come against you, and people become offended. And when you become offended, you were more open to betray. You see couples who were once hot in love with one another, somebody gets offended. Next thing you know, they entertain a situation and circumstance that in the natural, they would have never thought this person would have done it, but they ended up doing it anyway. And the person that they love so much, they ended up hating that person. Jesus says, then, because the people have got offended. Now, if you go back and you read the Amplified version of this, Amplified version says, when people got offended because the tribulation and tests that they were receiving, because for Jesus' name's sake, they not only got offended, but they got offended with the Lord Jesus Christ, the very one who's there to help you, the very one who's there to deliver you, the very one who's there to save you. These people got offended with him. And when they got offended with him, what did they do? They betrayed him. Then some people, because they got offended by what he said, they got offended by what he did, got offended by what he didn't say, but got offended by what he wouldn't do, they got offended at him and they betrayed him. They turned their back on him. And then the next thing, they got to the point, because they never dealt with that offense, because they never dealt with that hardness of heart, because they never dealt with that anger and that bitterness and resentment, guess what happened? They got to the point where they hated him. And even though the very one who's there to heal, set free, deliver, make you whole, bring you out of every situation and circumstance, your heart became hardened towards him, and you were not able to receive from him the very things he came to give you. We saw this in COVID. A lot of people thought, you know, where's the Lord at in all this? You know, this should have been over by now. But there's so many things that went on with COVID that people don't know. And a lot of it came down to deception. People were deceived about a lot of different things. And because of it, the people got offended. They got offended with the government. They got offended with their spouse. We saw marriages coming under attack. Child abuse went to a whole different level. Drug addiction increased. Alcoholism increased. Domestic violence increased. Why? Because all these people who normally were separated from one another, now they got to be in the same house with one another. And now what do? They became those things that used to bother them, but they had 8 hours outside of the house, so they didn't have to look at your face. Now they're in the house with you all the time. And what happened? People got offended with one another. People begin to betray one another, and people begin to hate one another. And when this happens in the body of Christ, when there's busybodies and when there's friendly fire, and when there's people who are coming against one another in the body of Christ, what does it open you up to? The next thing Jesus says, and many false prophets will arise and deceive many. Now, what happened? You became offended at Jesus. You betrayed Jesus. You hated Jesus. And then the adversary, wherever there's a vacuum, the adversary is going to come and fill that void. And what did he do? He raised up false prophets. Now, most people think you're talking about false prophets. There are some prophets, some people who call themselves prophets. They don't be prophesying. They be prophelying. There are some people who are out there who do that. But here, he's not talking about people from the pulpit. He's talking about people who are sitting in the congregation. And they're going to be, because a prophet simply means one who proclaims what they consider to be truth. And them, man, I told you, Pastor, wasn't all that in the bag of chips. I told you nothing special about that Jesus thing. I'm telling you, this is what you need to be doing. You need to have this, and you need to add this piece to it. And see, you don't have to just, you know, there's more than one way to get to heaven. Jesus ain't the only way, and your good can outweigh you. What are those? False prophets, false teachers. And what did he say? He says, and those false prophets will arise, and they will deceive many. And he says, and because lawlessness or sin will abound, the love of many will grow cold. People who used to be so in love with the Lord, love with his word, sin would begin to increase. Why will sin will begin to increase? Because people will have turned away from the very source of truth and begin to believe a lie. And guess what else will happen? They will be deceived. They will think what they're doing is right, not knowing that what they're doing is totally contrary to what the word of God says. And as a result, the more you sin, the colder your love walk is. The more you sin, the harder your heart is. The more you sin, the harder your soul is. The more you sin, the harder your conscience is. Into the fact where your heart becomes hardened, not only towards God, but your heart becomes hardened to the very people who represent him. Your heart becomes hardened. Even when you hear his word, it just grazes your little nerves. Like, oh, I can't stand you. It is not you that they get saying. It's because that word, your light, offends their darkness. And what did he say? He says, because he says, the love of many will grow cold. And he says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved, healed, set free, delivered, and made whole. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world and as a witness to all the nations, and the end will come. Now, let's talk about that word offense. That word offense is what we get the word scandalized from. You know what that word sounds like? Scandalized? Scandal. When you're talking about a scandal, you're talking about when you get caught in a scandal, you become entrapped. When you get into offense, you become trapped. When you get in an offense, you get tripped up. When you are in an offense, you stumble. And when you are in offense, guess what it does? When you're in offense, it entices you to sin. It entices you to apostasy. Apostasy means that you're going to turn away from the very one you should be following. What is the number one source? What is one of the number one sources of friendly fire? Miscommunication or breakdown of communication will cause friendly fire. What is one of the number one things that the adversary uses to try to bring about divisions and schisms and strifes? Offense, offense, offense. And when you get offended, you become trapped. And it's kind of like a mouse. When you put a little piece of cheese or put some peanut butter on the trap, and you're, what are you doing? You're enticing that mouse to try to come and get that cheese or get that peanut butter. And he not know that when he snatches that cheese, that the trap is going to come down and catch his tail or catch his body, and then he's going to be trapped. He cannot move any further forward. He cannot move. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you by the Spirit of God that the moment you get into offense, the moment you become offended, the moment you get caught up in the offense, you are trapped. You are snared. You cannot move forward, and it will entice you to sin. What's the sin you will be open to doing? What will it will cause you to do what? The very person that you once locked arms and arms with, it will open you up to betray that very person. What does betrayal mean? Betrayal means you're going to surrender that person. You're going to yield that person up. In other words, you're going to deliver them up. In fact, I know somebody who got offended with their spouse one time, and they knew all the time before this that their spouse had a warrant out for their arrest for something they did years ago, and there wasn't a reward money out there. And because that person was offended with their spouse on one moment, guess what they did? They betrayed him. And when they betrayed him, he went to jail for 6 months. They got the money for the reward, even though the only reason why they got him in the first place was because the person became offended. They became offended, and they betrayed one another. They surrendered one another up. They yielded one another up. They delivered one another up to the point that they hated that person, to the point that they detested that person. So many people who are leaving churches where they're supposed to be in, and they're leaving because they got offended. Have I ever been offended sitting in church? Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I went to my pastors who I love them. I still love them to this day, still very close to them. But this one time, I went to go see them for some counseling I went to go tell them about a situation. And as opposed, they didn't do or say what I thought they was going to do or say. So guess what happened, ladies and gentlemen? I got offended. Well, heck, half the church was already in the fence. So I was offended. And when I was offended and everything, I had my exit strategy. I knew, I told people, because I knew I didn't realize how offended I was, but I was offended. And the very people I had locked arm in arm with, the very people I had been through the trenches with, the very people who, when I was in some of my lowest lows, they were there with me. And I was offended, and I was willing to betray them. And I told the people, you know, because they knew I was the golden child. And I was, you know what? This is going to be my last Sunday. I already know where I'm going. Now, mind you, I used to sit on the front row, but at this time this particular Sunday, I'm sitting on the back row. I'm sitting so far to the back that all I got to do is step out a couple steps, boom, I'm out the door. And that's how pastors know. I'm just going to put y'all up on something. We know when y'all offended because y'all used to sit on the front row. Then when y'all get offended, y'all move back to the middle row. And then when you move from the middle row, you keep moving further back. We know you on your way out the door. So anyway, I'm sitting there and I already know where I'm going. And the people who was my amen corner, yep, man, you should do that. Da, 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 da. I'm sitting there. And while I'm sitting there, all of a sudden, the pastor gets up and they begin to do a message. And while they're doing the message and everything, and I know that, boy, they calling me out. They calling me out and everything. They never said my name, but I knew what they was talking about because it was part of the conversation that we had had. Now, I was so upset. I was already offended. And when the more they talk, the more offended I was. And in the midst of it, God said to me, "You forgive them right now." And I said, are you listening to what they're saying about me? He says, what they're doing has nothing to do with you. And I'm sitting there like, okay, Father, because I love God more than I love them. Okay, Father, I forgive, right? I did what he said, but he says, no, you forgive them from your head and from your heart. Because sometimes we say we forgive, but we have forgiven them from our head, but we did not forgive them from our heart. And we know sometimes when we forgive it, we doing it by faith, because at that moment, our emotions ain't saying to forgive. Our emotion says, run them over with the car and tell them that the Lord did it. But what did I do? I obey God. Now I'm sitting back there and I said, Lord, from my head and my heart, I forgive them. Do you know what God did? He took that bag of offense, took it off my shoulders, took that stuff away. And guess what he did then? Then he brought about healing to my heart. The same, remember, I told you what offense, I didn't say the word says, when you get offended, the thing you'll do is you'll betray it. And after betrayal, you will hate. But when I forgave them, what happened was, is my heart was healed. And the very people I had animosity and was willing to betray and was developing hatred towards, I love them more than I loved them before all that situation happened. And guess what happened? While I'm sitting there in the service, now mind you, I'm on the back row. Then they begin to pray in the other language. And then they call me forward. And I knew God was about to, I just said, man, God about to put my business out there. And no, now mind you, nobody knew any of the stuff that was going on in my heart. And this is what they said. Because of the change that happened in your heart, this is what he's about to do. He's about to promote you. And I got promoted in ways I could have never experienced. But the first thing I had to be willing to do is let go the offense. And what we find out here, even with Jesus, that he had people who became offended with him. You know, Jesus' disciples was asking him, because sometimes you could actually get offended by the word. The word can offend you. Jesus said this. He's talking to his disciples, and he's talking at the parable, and he's talking to them in talking to the people in parables. And his disciples asked him in Matthew chapter 13. He says, "Why do you talk to them and speak to them in parables?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Because it's given to you to know the mysteries, the secrets, the strategies of the kingdom of God, but to them has not been given." Now, when you think about that, you say, "Man, why would God give it to these people, but not give it to these people?" And Jesus is going to answer that question. He says, "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him." He says, "Therefore, I speak to them in parables." This is why I speak to them in parables, Jesus says, "because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I could heal them, so that I can make them whole, so that I can make them complete." Jesus says, the reason I speak to them in parable is because I teach them in stories, ways that they can understand, but I'm still teaching them the principles, the biblical kingdom principles that are available to them. But because they have closed their ears, because they have shut their eyes, because they have hardened their hearts and not been willing to receive it, he says they cannot receive it, even though it's available to them. Why? Because for many of them, when they heard the word, they became offended. What does offense do? Means to, they became trapped. They became snared. So they was betrayed and they hated. And they, what will they do? Jesus says they will turn and follow him no more. Now, I'm going to share with you this. Jesus says, talking about the parable of the sower, which is what they was talking about. Jesus said that there are people, he says, there are people who, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 20, it says this. He says, "But he that received the seed," talk about the word, "into stony places," he says, "the same is he or she that hears the word and receives it with joy." Immediately they were receiving with joy. Woo-hoo! that's the word I need to hear. They shouting, they screaming, they dancing. He says, yet they didn't have root in themselves. So they, after they heard the word, they didn't make a plan to do the word. They didn't make a plan on how they were going to implement it into their everyday life. So what happened is they heard the word, they received it with joy, they had no root in themselves, they didn't spend enough time with it for it to really get down deep inside of them, so they only endured for a while. For when tribulation, see that word again, tribulation came, test trials and tribulations came, and persecution. Persecution is when people come against you. He says, so because they heard the word, they received the word with joy, but they didn't have any roots in them. He says they only endured for a while. He says, and then when persecution and tribulations came and arise, this is why the persecution and tribulation arise, because of the word. When you hear the word of God, the adversary, particularly about the kingdom, the adversary is going to come to try to cause tribulations and persecutions to come against you for you to give up that word. He says, and when those tribulations and persecutions came because of the word, the people who had originally received the word with joy, the people who originally shouted, the people who endured for a season because of the tribulations and persecutions, they became offended. And when they became offended, guess what happened? The adversary was able to snatch that word from them because they are now trapped. And they are now caught and they are now snared. And this is where we're going to end, talking about what offense does and why it causes friendly fire. Now, we found out that Jesus says when these people become offended, they're not just becoming offended just in the people who are persecuting. They become offended with Jesus. They become offended with those who represent him. They become offended with Jesus' word. Some people become offended with all these different things. And the whole thing is to bring about division, schisms, strifes, false prophets. Jesus says this to his disciples in John chapter 6. After he's teaching them about you must eat my body and drink my blood. And they like, oh, Jesus is having a cannibal service. And Jesus says this to them in John 6, verse 60. He says this, therefore, many of his disciples, when they had heard this, this is what they said. This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And when Jesus knew it himself, that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What offend you? The words which I have spoken to you, does this offend you? He says, and what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. Those who would deliver him up. And this is what Jesus said to them. He says, and he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me except it has been granted to him by my Father. This is what happened, though. Jesus said, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. What came first? The word. Then what happened? They got offended. When they got offended, they did what? They betrayed him. And when they betrayed him, they could hate him. And all that happens. Now, Jesus told me this many years ago. He says, Milt, you're always one sermon away from people loving you, or you one sermon away from everybody turning against you. He says, you have to make a decision. You're going to do it to speak my word, no matter what, in the face of any kind of test, trials, tribulation, and persecution. Are you willing to do that? I said, absolutely, Lord. I'm like Peter. When Jesus turned to him, he found out all those people left him and they followed him no more. Jesus didn't say, oh, guys, hold on. You misunderstood. Hold on. Ain't what Jesus did. Jesus also turned to the 12 and says, do you want to go away? In other words, the word I'm speaking is spirit, it's life, it's from the Holy Spirit. Do you want to go away? Do you want to betray me? Have you become offended in me? Have you done those things? And Peter says, where are we going to go? We know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you are the one. The word of life is in your mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, friendly fire comes as a result of broken communication, broken down communication, or misunderstanding. But the one thing you can say about this is the word of God. There is no miscommunication. Jesus says only what he heard his father says. Jesus does only what he saw the father do. And he's expecting you and I to do the same thing. He says from the very beginning, God composed the body, put members in the body as he sees fit. He's given honor to this one and less honor to that one. Why? That there be no divisions, no schisms, and no strifes in the body. What could cause division, schism, and strifes in the body? Offense. Offended. You made a decision to get offended. Now, opportunities for offense will come. Whether you get offended or not is totally up to you. Now, if you think that somebody's been, you've been deceived by many false prophets telling you there's more than one way to get to the Father, more than one way to get to heaven, I'm here to let you know that is a lie straight from the adversary's mouth. Because there's only one way to the Father. Jesus said this in John 14, 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. I want to give you an opportunity that even if you were offended, just like I was in that church service, make a decision that you're going to forgive whoever it was. You're going to let it go, and you're going to get back in right fellowship with our Heavenly Father. I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray this prayer with me. If you never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, but you want to today, you realize, man, I've been going the wrong way. Come on, make that decision. Make a heart decision, not a head decision. Remember, he said, Milt, you forgave from your head, not from your heart. Make a heart decision today. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in a grave, but now that he's risen, he's alive right now. Lord Jesus, I receive you as Lord of my life. I repent of sin. I receive your offer of forgiveness. Thank you for bearing my sins on your cross. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. I receive the Holy Spirit right now, and I'm born from anew. From above, in Jesus' name, amen and glory to God. Now, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, or you pray that prayer, man, I want to welcome you to the body of Christ, welcome you back in the right position, welcome you back into the kingdom of God. Now, what do you got to do now? Man, you got to get in a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Teaches you about the love of God. Teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of what he did for you on the cross. We know that this church is such a place as that, and we invite you to come join us every Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlanta Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, when we have another word that will bring life and edification to your life. Now, on behalf of Pastor Juan and the entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us today. And remember this, God never put you in the body and saw you as an insignificant part. He sees you as valuable in the body of Christ. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.